Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Afternoon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is Rob and Sook. Back together. I'm back from vacation. Sook's right over there. He never went anywhere.
No.
True story.
No, I got nowhere to go.
Not many people do.
No.
Right now.
I'm still looking.
Wow.
I got to take vacation coming up here. I got 2 weeks. I got to figure out something to do. Either that or just sit around the house and drink, which is not a bad option.
Yeah, but you do that anyway.
I know. But I got a new hammock and, you know.
Drink more.
Got a fire pit. You know, we'll be all right. We'll figure something out.
The great Mike Lynch is over there, ladies and gentlemen. It is a very busy sports day.
There is a lot to cover.
A lot going on. Now, coming up in the club tonight, I have a question, a recycling question.
Do pose.
And
I saw a ladder now.
I also have snake news. I have the latest on Snake Gate here at Intercom.
Oh, there's a new piece to it.
Yes.
A big piece. I saw a ladder on the freeway today, and now whenever I see a ladder.
Ah, did you think of me?
I can't help but think of you.
Did you think for a second about grabbing it?
I saw one on the freeway 2 weeks ago and thought of Rob immediately.
Yeah.
I saw was actually in the middle of all four lanes. It was just sitting there.
I never noticed how many ladders there are, but now that you had your ladder excursion there, your ladder debate, I'm seeing more and more ladders just strewn about. This one, though, was in
Why
really,
do they all fall off trucks?
I don't know.
It was I think
in
it's
really
because
poor
they're,
shape.
They fall off trucks because they're so long, they're on the side.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're on the side or they're hanging out of the truck.
Yeah, not properly secured.
Yeah.
This one was right on the side of 84, and I did because it was like traffic was slowing. Something happened because there was like drywall. Exploded just like just everywhere. And then there was this old beat up ladder. And so right as we had to slow down for the drywall, like right to the left of me, I could have opened my door and grabbed the ladder. But, and I did, I thought of you, but it was in really bad, it was in bad condition. It was not a quality ladder.
Oh,
I think it was some
well,
sort
in
of,
that case.
Yeah, it was,
it's not worth it.
It was a junk ladder. And you know, I was still moving. It just was going quite slow. And I thought, oh my God, there's a ladder right there. I wonder if Rob wants that. But again, I had no way to secure it to my car.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to have a busy club tonight, guys. This hour, you'll hear a little bit more of Larry Scott. He was on a webinar today, Pac-12 releasing its schedule. Talk a little bit about that. Rob Manfred from Major League Baseball has issued a very dire warning. And your Zers win.
In a dynamite opener.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
Great game. So right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
You know,
Number 5.
Former Oregon State Beaver Nick Madrigal was the fourth overall pick of the White Sox in the 2018 Major League Baseball Draft. Today, he was called up to the big club.
Nice.
He will take over at second base. Now, here's a fun fact about Madrigal in the minors. You know, he's had two minor league seasons. He has 705 minor league plate appearances. Mm-hmm. Guess how many times he has struck out?
I'm guessing not many because that was kind of his thing in college.
705.
Let's go with 50 something.
21.
Yeah, that's
he's amazing.
Yeah, he's
doesn't hit for power.
No, but he doesn't strike out.
It'll be interesting to see how he does. Just 2 years removed from the draft, he is in the bigs.
And on other Beaver news, did you see that old Rushman? He shot his best shot at the Bachelorette.
What?
Yeah,
is he on there?
No. He tweeted at her, and he had a clever little poem about how he wants to make her,
rich?
Her his.
Oh,
yeah. Like how he could, it was like a roses are red, violets are blue, change your name to Rutschman too, something like that. Took a shot.
Roses are red, violets are blue, I'll change your name to Rutschman from Prue.
Yeah. So, you know, hey.
Boy, is that?
I don't know.
The tweet that I found was first overall pick Adley Rutschman from the clouds.
Coming out of nowhere, top rope macho man style. He's the number one overall pick. Take your shot, man. I don't know who this guy was, but I guess, you know, she was on the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, one of those. And had a crush on her. And what good is it being the number one overall pick if you can't use a little internet clout?
Antonio Brown, who is not really in the NFL.
No.
Has been suspended by the NFL for 8 games.
And he doesn't have to be on a team. So after week 8, he will be allowed to sign somewhere. Well, he can sign somewhere wherever, but he'd be eligible to play. Because he retired... But then he unretired. I believe that's now at least 3, possibly 4 retirements / unretirements.
Nobody wants him.
Well, someone does.
You think he'll get signed?
I know a lot of players are stumping for him. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson came out recently and said that they want him. Yeah, but
do you think he'll get signed?
You know what? I think he will. If you get some opt-outs here and injuries, it's a weird season, the COVID thing. I still think that just talent trumps most things. I do. I think he'll get another crack.
Cardinals Brewers postponed tonight due to 2 positive St. Louis players. And by positive, I mean
negative.
The COVIDs.
It's a negative thing that you test positive.
Yeah. So 6 teams are not playing tonight due to COVID. And that has led to a dire warning from Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, who is saying he got on a conference call with the Players Association today. And he warned that they could shut this down, and it could happen as soon as Monday if they cannot, stop testing positive.
Yeah, better control. Well, the was that another 1 or 2 Marlins? The Marlins are up to 21.
Yeah, do you see how they're bussing all their sickos back to Miami?
Yeah, because they can't get on a plane, but the problem is they're going to be bussing right through the middle of the gall-darn hurricane, so.
Oh, jeez. Now COVID's going to get swept up in the hurricane and then disseminate to all the...
We're all in a world of trouble.
Well, it's a mess, but hopefully...
It's not going good for baseball.
No, it isn't. 6 teams now that aren't playing tonight, and I think for the weekend, right?
I don't know about the entire weekend, but I know there's 6 that are at least temporarily shut down, but I haven't seen if they've canceled the entire weekend.
That pisses me off.
You know what pisses me off? That the Mets can't score. Can we talk about that?
Well, if they shut it down, they won't score.
Their offense was supposed to be good.
Blazers
win. It's
really
going to suck if they shut it down after watching
that. Oh, totally. I know. I'm into it. Blazers win 140-135. In overtime, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies, and that is the team they are chasing for the 8th seed in the West. So they are now only 2.5 back. Remember, they only have 7 games left, and they must finish within 4 of Memphis in order to get into a little mini playoff to be the 8th seed. So, big win.
And it was a great game, kind of back and forth. Blazers got off to a big lead. Memphis came roaring back, and then in the final quarter, it felt like there was about 19 different lead changes. Melo had a couple big threes. Gary Trent Jr. was big. Even Hazonia had his moments in the game. Who the hell had that?
CJ McCollum, 33. Damian Lillard, 29. Nurkic, 18 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, 6 blocks, but he did foul out. So very big win by the Blazers, who trailed by as many as 11. And so they will take on Boston on Sunday. And number one is the Pac-12 has released its football schedule, 10-game, conference only, and they will not start until September 26th. So they have pushed back the dates. We will get you all the deets on this, including the Ducks and the Beavers, the Cougs, the Huskies, all coming up next. But there are a few more Friday games, and they're not starting until September 26th, and they have a few open dates in there to give teams a chance to kind of move games around and be nimble. And they should have, there be cancellations.
And they have officially moved the Pac-12 title game. Remember, originally it was December 4th, and the outline was that you could have 3 weekends to play it. They've just moved it to December 19th, giving you some more wiggle room at the end of the season to move canceled games. And then on an unrelated note, I'll just throw this in there as a plus one. I just saw it like 2 minutes ago. Sabrina Ionescu just was carted off the floor with a pretty bad looking ankle injury.
Yeah. For the Liberty.
Yeah. She, I don't know if it was broken or whatever, but it's certainly, it didn't look good when she rolled it really, really bad and had to be, carried off.
Liberty, Liberty. Okay, let's get into the Pac-12 news of the day. We'll get to that next, including audio from Larry Scott. It is 5:13 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
The Hot 5 at 5 moments ago was brought to you by Coors Light. The best way to chill this summer is with Coors Light's new limited edition summer cans. Pick them up anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill.
It's never too late for the silver bullets.
So Pac-12, September 26th start, 10-game conference-only schedule. Oregon State schedule's brutal.
Yeah, their first five, especially, with the exception of maybe the UCLA game, because I don't think UCLA is going to be very good. I think Oregon State is going to be a significant dog in every one of those games. They open Cal, and then you get UCLA, but then you got Utah, Oregon, and UW.
Woof.
Yeah, that's a tough stretch.
Then they get a bye week. Their last five are Arizona at home, Stanford on the road, Washington State at home, and then two road games at Colorado and Arizona State.
I mean, you can make an argument there because you don't play SC. SC is not on the schedule, but Cal, Utah, Oregon, and UW, that's probably four of the top five teams in the conference, the other one being USC, and you get four of them right out of the gate.
Oregon's schedule, they did add the Utah game, which is interesting. That'll be at the end of the season. So Oregon will start with Colorado September 26th. Then they will play at Washington State. Arizona State game is a Friday night game at home. And then the game formerly known as the Civil War is actually October 17th.
Yeah, a lot of the rivalry games, it's not at the end of the year. In fact, week one, you're getting the Territorial Cup, Arizona State, and you're getting USC-UCLA. Week one, and Larry Scott basically said that was done on purpose because Arizona and Los Angeles right now, two places that more than likely you may have to have a delayed start or bump that first game, and the fact you put it early on gives them a better chance to try to get it in later on. They are expecting to either have some delayed starts or at least have to postpone some games, if not cancel them altogether.
Here's the Lair Bear on that.
There were a lot of factors that went into it, and Ray can certainly add to some of the specifics. What I will emphasize is, one of the aspects of the thinking that went into USC and UCLA being early, and in this case, the first week, that went into Arizona and Arizona State being early in this version the first week, is we realize at the moment those are real hotspots and the requisite authorities and approvals necessary are not there yet. By putting them the first week, in the event that these two teams in each of those two markets playing against each other winds up not being possible, they become very easy to reschedule. So each of those could reschedule into the bye week that you'll see on the calendar a few weeks later, or to the December week that we left. So we're going in eyes wide open. We're going in contemplating that it's possible not all of our schools can start on September 26th. And for those that can't, the way we've scheduled, particularly in these two markets where at the moment are hotspots, they're very easily rescheduled to a bye week or to the December week, which is when you'd find a traditional rivalry game, by the way. So we're contemplating the possibility.
He's talking about there some places right now you can't even practice with a football. Like, you're not allowed to do that yet. So
who needs a football?
Well, a football probably needs a football.
I'm just happy they're not going in eyes wide shut.
No, I mean, they are well aware of what's going on. And I don't give college coaches or administrations or conferences much credit because I think the whole thing is crooked, and in some ways it's a little disingenuous. He goes on to say that the first priority here is health and safety, and then we know that's a crock. You're trying to find a way to get this in because there's millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. But where I will give them credit is it appears that every single conference is going in, understanding that everything is written in pencil. Flexibility is key here, and that there isn't just going to be a rigid model here. I mean, every conference has said, hey, not everyone's going to play the same number of games. We know it. We're going to do our best. We're going to try to put things in place to try to keep people safe and fingers crossed, hope for the best. Larry Scott even said that as far as fans goes, that's going to be up for state to state, county to county. So they're not going to have the Pac-12 is going to have nothing to do with whether fans are going to be allowed or not. That will be an individual school and then health department's sorts of call. So you could have some states that you have, you know, a couple thousand, some zero at all. Maybe others, you know, a Utah or Colorado, if they're doing better, you could have 50% capacity. We don't know.
What Pac-12 school is doing, which school is in the footprint that's doing the best with COVID, I guess is the way to ask it.
And I'm not certain. Well, we know California is not doing well. We know Arizona's not doing well.
Is the Bay Area doing okay?
I haven't seen a ton on that, but
I know LA is doing terrible.
LA is doing terrible. But I know
we know that, but what about up? I mean, it might be Oregon State.
It's possible, although, you know, we're trending the wrong way. And right now in Oregon, Kate Brown isn't even allowing high school football. It's technically against the order right now. I know Utah is holding like U Sports. They're holding tournaments and different things like that. So I do know that Utah is at least open for business when it comes to other sports. So it might be the Utes.
Okay. Back to Oregon. So their first four games, Colorado, Washington State, Arizona State, and Oregon State. And then that gets them to a bye week. They have a bye in week five.
And then this is the meaty part. They got a tough three-game stretch here.
Yeah, they play Washington at home, then at Cal, then USC at home.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
That's kind of that's probably your season right there if you're Oregon, because obviously you're going in with I don't know about a perfect season, but a one loss, because you're thinking college football playoff. At least that was the expectation going in, and that is by far the tough stretch.
Yeah, so then they play at Arizona, which is a Friday night game. Yep. Always a trap. And then Stanford at home, and then that game at Utah that they added. So it could come down to that too.
Yeah.
December 5th, they play that game. So,
and they are going to play the Pac-12 title game, and that's going to be December 19th. So originally they said that the plan was December 4th, 12th, or 19th. They're scheduled regular season games that week of the 4th. The 12th is going to be open, as Larry Scott, that's what he was alluding to. Any game that can't be fit in during one of the byes or has to be postponed, that whole week of December 12th is open. And then the drop dead date of December 12th is the Pac-12 title. All conference games have to be played by then, conference title games across the country, because that would give you 2 weeks to prepare if one of your teams made the college football playoff.
Now for you Huskies and you Cougs, Washington's schedule is not easy. I don't know if they're supposed to be good this year or what, but they host Stanford and Arizona out of the gate. Then they're at Cal. Then they get a bye. Oregon State at home, but then they're at Oregon, Colorado on a Friday night up in Seattle, at Utah, then UCLA at home, and then at Washington State and at USC. So their road games are Cal, Oregon, Utah, Washington State, and USC.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
Not an easy slate. And then Washington State, again, tough out of the gate. You start out on the road at Utah and on the road at Oregon.
Those are both games at home.
Oh, I'm sorry. That flipped that then. Yeah, so they get Utah at home, Oregon at home, then on the road at UCLA, home with Cal. You get the bye. And then what, on the road at Stanford, on the road at USC, home to ASU Sun Devils, on the road against Oregon State. Then you got the Apple Cup, which will be on a Friday night, and then Colorado.
So there you go. There are your Pac-12 schedules. Yeah. Will they get it in? Larry Scott, how confident is he?
You know, go back to approach the answer to that question with a lot of humility, and I don't know. I think we are all trying to take a step at a time. We are cautiously optimistic sitting here today, but as Dr. Ackerman mentioned, and we've tried to reinforce, there are elements outside our control that are going to have a lot of influence on that question. What's happening in our communities? What's happening in our campuses? A lot of that's got to do with, right, mask wearing, social distancing, other things. What happens when thousands of students come back to our campus? None of us have the answer to that question. We feel a tremendous obligation, however, for the health and well-being of our student athletes, including their mental health, to provide every opportunity possible to be able to play. We understand how important, whether it's college football, men's or women's soccer, volleyball, being able to practice with your team, being able to play if possible, if it can be safe. We understand because we've heard loud and clear, and I hear regularly, directly and indirectly from our student athletes, how important it is to have the structure, have something they're so passionate about that they've worked so hard for, to preserve that opportunity for them. That's what we're determined to do, to create the opportunity, preserve the opportunity, if the health conditions and the community conditions allow us to go forward, and if public health authorities allow us to go forward. So that's our mindset, but I can't make a prediction.
Yeah, again, this is the same, like everyone is going into this with their eyes wide open. No one is being ignorant about this and burying their head in the sand. And that's the one positive thing you can say. Someone texted in and said, the schedule makes no sense. Why not start on September 12th, give 2 extra week buffer rescheduling when someone does get sick, not if. The whole point of pushing back is right now you've got places that can't start camp. So you really, what you're doing by pushing that schedule back is you're trying to do two things. One, just get everyone to have an actual camp where you can get people to all start at the same time. The other one is, as I think most people want to see what happens when you start to get some kids regularly back on campus and see what happens and exactly what you're up against then. So this idea of, well, started early, I think the vast majority of people are saying, no, we're trying to push this back and kick it down the road as far as possible. This is the same thing that the SEC did. The only one that I've seen really be aggressive about trying to move things up is the Big 12. And the Big 12 did that with that idea in mind of, yeah, we're going to move them up, but we know we're going to cancel games. Whereas I think the other conferences, the SEC and the Pac-12, are taking an approach of maybe if we move this back a little bit, we're going to try to avoid that as much as possible.
Fan text line 503-250-1080. Someone texts and said, if you're UW, it's a great year to have a tough road schedule since there will likely be no fans. That is true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And again, we
didn't even think about that.
I think there's, in some places, I do think you're going to get some fans. I don't know.
Really?
I do. Hmm. I do. I think, you know, we've seen across the board, you know, we've seen around the country, fans start to trickle in some shape or form. And I do think you are going to get some universities, if they are allowed to, by the government. I think they're going to do everything they can to squeeze every last drop out of this.
I may have asked you this before, forgive me, but how do you feel about what no fans will do to home field advantage in college football?
It's huge. Absolutely enormous.
It changes everything.
It does.
It would seem to me.
It does. You still have the idea of when you're at home, you sleep in your own bed, there's patterns, you don't have to travel, all that, but not playing in a hostile environment from the, and not having to worry about audibles or anything like that, crowd noise as far as getting off the ball on time and false starts, and just the energy that you get, it's completely different. It absolutely neuters home field advantage. So that person is right that if you have a tough road schedule, this benefits you. The home field advantage, I don't know if it's not gonna, if it's nothing, but it certainly chops it down significantly to its, as far as the advantage goes.
All right. Poll question, 1080thefan.com, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Today we're asking you, how many games will the Pac-12 get in this season? All 10 plus a championship, 8 to 10, 7 or less, or none. Vote at 1080thefan.com.
If you told me right now that you could give everyone 8 games, I would take it and not look back.
What if I could give you 5?
No, I think I'd roll the dice.
Okay.
My guess is if I had to put a number, if you gave me the over-under at 7.5, I would take the under.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of people who don't think it's going to happen at all.
I don't necessarily think that those people are wrong. I just think there's so much at stake, and this goes back to trying to squeeze some fans in. Larry, another clip in there where Larry Scott was talking about the financial implications. Even if this goes off the way that they're planning, even if you have some fans in the stands, the financial losses just from the TV money alone is going to be staggering into the tens of millions of dollars. This is going to be crippling either way. But the idea of having to cancel a season 2 weeks in, 3-4 weeks in, not having bowl games, anything like that, unwinding TV deals, it's such a staggering amount of money for these programs that I think that they will do everything, even if it's against public safety. They are going to do everything they can. They're going to have to basically be forced, I think, to shut this down by someone other than the league. So I think you're going to get a handful of weeks in.
I sort of don't really understand why they won't just move to spring. That seems like, you know, because then you're talking, what, March?
Yeah.
It just feels like by then you could have a lot clearer picture, you know? Yeah. Vaccine could be around.
Yeah. I think the terrifying...
That's a year out.
Now,
that would be a full year of COVID.
I think if you had leadership at one universal body, right? Like if Mark Emmert actually had some sway, I think that would make the most sense. But the problem is no one wants to be the first one. Because what happens if you decide that you're going to punt on this and no one else goes along and you're the lone conference?
All the conference is doing their own thing. Again, it hurts them.
It hurts. And this is why I said at the very beginning of this whole thing that the sport that was most in danger was college football, because there's not one unifying body. But you're right. From a financial standpoint, it would make sense to just say, hey, let's wait as long as possible and we'll try this in the spring and see if we can have somewhat of a normal season and try to recoup some of this dough.
Could they also be thinking that maybe if they don't get them all in or get very few in this fall, that they could still play in spring?
Well, Larry Scott did say, it was a brief little clip in there. I was listening to the webinar there they had. He did say that there could be a spring component. I don't know what that means, and I didn't hear him expand upon it, but he did say that that is an option. But I think that would be, if you had to cancel it, let's say 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in, or you don't get it off the ground, certainly then I think spring becomes an option. But I think that is the fallback of fallback plans. It's the nuclear option, right? If everything goes to hell, that's what you fall back on.
He basically, when he was asked that, he was like, December 19th is the end of the season.
Yeah.
He was very adamant about that. So I don't think they want to do that. No one
wants to do that. But again, if you get it where you can't play any games, or you get one or two games in, and you're staring at each conference or each team staring at a $30+ million loss, all of a sudden spring will be considered.
Okay, there's hot Pac-12 talk. Next, exciting day for your Blazers. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Blazers.
Your Blazers won today. They got started. This one counted. Portland 140, Memphis 135.
In a really entertaining game. So far, the Celtics and Bucks have a good one going on right now. The NBA restart here has been dynamite.
It really has. It looks, first of all, if you haven't watched any, it looks really cool on TV, the way they've presented it, even with no fans. And it's intense. Like last night, I didn't think the Lakers, the Lakers have a 5-game lead on the Clippers.
Yeah.
And they played last night, and I didn't think that the Lakers would maybe even roll out Anthony Davis, but they did, and they were into it. It came down to the wire. It came down to a final shot by LeBron and a miss by Paul George. But it was just, you know, it's intense. It's good.
Yeah, and the same thing with the New Orleans Utah game was great, down to the wire. And then from the tip, the Grizzlies and Blazers. I mean, that was a back and forth. Portland was up by 13 early on, 10-point halftime lead. Had a disastrous third quarter. Memphis, I think, was up by 11 after three. And then the fourth quarter was, 15 different lead changes back and forth, and we even ended up in overtime.
Very good game. 84 free throws total.
Yeah.
But Memphis got there 50 times. But the Blazers caught fire in overtime. You know, Carmelo Anthony hit a couple of huge threes, wide open threes. Had one to really clinched the game in the regulation, but he missed it.
But he was seven.
He made some big ones.
He was 7-for-10 from the field overall. And I thought Nurkic looked great. Lillard struggled early on, but came back and was huge at the end. And he was the reason why Melo was getting a lot of those open looks. And then CJ was great, 14-21 for 33.
And how about some love for Gary Trent?
Yeah.
Gary Trent Jr., because the Blazers bench is terrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
But Mario Hezonja gave him some decent minutes. And Gary Trent was great. He was a plus 20.
And he had a huge three in overtime. They came out in overtime, and CJ and Trent both hit a three first two possessions, and then Trent had a steal at midcourt, and they put him up by 8, and Memphis never really threatened. I don't think they got within three that whole overtime. I mean, he was a monster, and we knew, we were talking to Quick while you were gone, and he thought that you may even see him a 7-man bench, but he knew Stotts was really going to whittle this thing down. And I don't know if you can expect that out of Super Mario there. You know, I think that's a bit much. But if you can get that sort of play out of Trent Jr. And even Whiteside, who played good minutes, that's.
I didn't think so. I thought he was.
Yeah, he was pretty mediocre.
Head up his ass, Whiteside again. But
you're going to need Whiteside and Trent Jr. because you're not going to rely on Mario Hezonja.
Well, it was helpful when both Collins and Nurk fouled out that Whiteside was available.
That's exactly right. Having a guy like that is a luxury especially when those two guys fell out. But yeah, that's why I just thought his role the whole time watching them this year, I was like, man, Whiteside's a bench guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy to have off the bench, but as a starter, it's not good. Now, the thing that, and I didn't see the whole game because we were working, but what I watched, the thing that I liked was, well, one, it was just a great game, and both teams are really into it. The Grizzlies really wanted it because they feel like they've been wronged how they've laid out the format.
And they probably have a legit gripe. I mean, if that was the Blazers,
well, not probably, they do.
You'd be pissed.
And the Blazers are, they knew it was a huge game because that's the team they're chasing, and they only have 8 of these, and they have a really tough schedule, so they had to win this game.
Yeah.
And it was just right down to the wire. I liked the way that they moved the ball. They weren't doing that early in the year. The ball was just dying with either Lillard, McCollum, or Anthony. And they weren't getting much ball movement. They had 27 assists in this game. Well, I thought that was great.
And I'll tell you what, just the presence of Nurkic, who I think had 5 or 6 assists on his own, he is so adept at getting the ball on the elbow there and being able to work off of him and actually having an inside presence. And even though I thought his shot struggled a little bit, he was struggling to finish around the rim. But just having a guy that has a presence in there and can help facilitate moving the ball, it's such an added advantage for you. And then it allows Carmelo Anthony to just go stand in the corner.
That's right.
And wait to knock down open shots.
It changes everything. And he is such a useful player.
Yes.
Not an all-star, but man, can he pepper the stat sheet? He had 18 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, 6 blocks, and 2 steals.
Yeah.
He took a 3 while he missed it.
He is a giant, giant difference maker.
Now,
for this
Collins
team.
Was a different animal. You guys overrate Zach Collins. He's
I do?
No, I'm saying like the Blazer fans.
It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
He's
an energy effort guy.
Again, also
he's a very good defender.
He's also useful on the defensive side, but he's just not that good. No. And we for some reason we built him up into this, this is going to be huge when they get him back. It's huge that they have Nurkic back, like you just mentioned. It's not that big that they have Collins back.
The biggest thing for Collins is he can play a little defense and give you some energy, but he's a body. He allows Whiteside to go to the bench.
He's a hell of a bench player, too. Like, if Collins, I don't know, you may see him toy with the lineup. I wonder if he might toy with the lineup, but I'd like to see Collins come off the bench. That energy, that defensive energy off the bench would be good, but
The problem is that if you put Whiteside in there, you probably have to move Nurk to the 4, and that's a little.
Yeah.
Don't Nurk is such an effective player in the middle.
We'll see.
I just think this is what it may just be game to game based on what
matchups.
You have out
there. That's right. There are different things they can do, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They won, so now they play Boston. They have such a tough schedule too.
They do. It's the toughest. It's the toughest of anyone that's fighting for the 8 spot, but. That's why this was such a big one. You've only got 7 games left, and there's a hell of a big difference between 4.5 back and 2.5 back. And that was the difference in tonight's game.
Boston, Houston, Denver, Clippers, Sixers, Mavs.
Yeah.
And then they do get Brooklyn.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's.
That's nice to have at the end.
And realistically, to even have a puncher's chance at this, 5-3, and more realistically, 6-2. In order to be there. So this was a big game. There's no margin for error.
Why so many early games? Somebody asks. I don't know.
Yeah, they're mostly
mainly because everybody's playing.
Yeah.
Well, so they're trying only have to so get many all courts, this.
Yeah.
So
I mean the games are going to be spread out like this and I don't know, maybe it's that it's not a prime time. I mean I'm guessing the Lakers and teams like that are going to be the ones that are going to be saved for the prime time slots. Although this was the best game we've seen so far, I think,
Lakers Clippers
bubble. Yeah, it was good, and it came down LeBron with one at the end.
The refs tried really hard to make this a terrible game to watch.
Yeah, they did. It was frustrating. If you're a Blazer fan, you were probably yelling at the TV.
How many total free throws were there in the
84.
Game?
84. Oof. Memphis got it there 50 sometimes.
50. Yeah. And the high-fiving and they're trying to socially distance the benches.
Yeah, I know, but it's...
But
yeah, I don't,
it's kind of dumb because the guys are all over each other anyway.
Yeah, you're hugging when a guy, you come off the sidelines and it's,
And they're in the bubble.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I,
and they're also playing basketball. Like, they're... I mean, it's just kind of silly that, oh, we must socially distance the seats over here. But when you get in the game, sweat all over and breathe all over the guy that's guarding you.
That's why I laugh a little bit at like some of the stuff they're talking about for football, right? It's like, well, you can't have you sitting by each other on the bench, but get in the huddle and then go ram your head into someone else.
Well, 1-0, Jace.
Big win.
The quest for the title.
Well, if they get the 8 seed, then just pencil them in. I mean, that goes without saying, right?
By the way, some post-game news. Mm-hmm. Yusuf Nurkic's grandma has COVID.
Not only that, but he unfortunately, she's in a coma. So, and his quote was, wear the blank mask. So,
effing.
That from the Bosnian Beast. So, we wish his grandma the best, but that's COVID coma, not what you want to hear.
Can we talk about Anthony Davis for a quick moment next?
Sure. You talking about his hair?
No.
Oh.
I like his hair.
All right.
CJ McCollum, new look today.
Yeah, and you were a fan, even though you called
big fan.
Even though you called him fat.
I think he's gained some weight, but haven't we all? It's COVID. Hey, look at that. Robbie Cano hit a home run.
Oh, all right.
You're bitching about the Mets?
I am bitching about the Mets.
They have four runs, dude.
I wasn't bitching about the Mets. I am currently bitching about the Mets because their offense is terrible. Oh, yeah, look at that.
They're up 4-2.
Well, thank heavens.
God, and they have the bases loaded.
Oh, don't worry. They won't get anything out of that.
But is it me or is anybody scoring in baseball? It feels like it's all pitching.
Well, I know that the only time the Mets score is when they're playing the crappy Red Sox pitching, and even then it's 50-50.
Yeah, it just feels like offense is really bad right now. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I'll take a look at that for
you. I feel like it's been pretty down the middle, to be honest with you.
You
had like some Shane Bieber, Jose Berrios starts like yesterday where it was like 1-0 in that game, right? 2-0. But then you had like an 8-6 Pirates game, Brewers the other day. There's runs being scored.
You know who scored the most runs in baseball so far?
I saw this. The Twinkies, maybe?
No, but the Twins look awful good.
Yeah, the Twins are raking.
It could be the Twins here if they finish. The Padres. My San Diego Padres.
Your San Diego Padres?
Yes, 44 runs.
I would not have.
Now, they've played an extra game over the Twins, but still.
Well, go Padres. What is the Padres record?
The Padres also in back-to-back games blew 5-run leads.
Yeah. They're both
one of them in overtime, in extra innings.
Do they want Edwin Diaz? Because they can have him.
No, they got Kirby Yates. Why would they take Edwin Diaz?
How do you feel about Twins-Padres World Series? I'd take that right now.
I'd be on board.
Fantastic.
I hate it.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know who to root for. No, I'd root for my pods.
See, I'm a Twinkies guy. I like Minnesota.
I think they deserve.
Well, it's like the A's for me. I love the fact that they have to work with peanuts, and yet seemingly every year, not every year, but for the most part, they put out a competitive team, and then they usually run into a team with $250 million in payroll. But I'm 100% on board with what the Twinkies have going on.
Okay, we'll be right back. It is 5:49 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, you owe the Mets an apology.
No, I'm going to bitch about their offense more. I bitched about it, and now they've got 8 runs.
8-2.
Now, it does help that apparently Atlanta wants to walk everybody, but I'll take it.
Yeah, Robbie Cano, 3-for-3. He's hitting .375. What's gotten into him?
Well, I'm hoping the juice. I want the old Robbie Cano. I want the Mariners roided up Cano. God. He was good in Seattle.
They have Cespedes and Cano.
Yes.
Batting sixth and seventh.
Sauce him up, man.
The olds. I love it.
Where's Nelson Cruz? Oh, wait. He's in Minnesota raking.
He sure is.
Yeah. Nelly Cruz. No, but don't worry. It's all on the up and up. He's never tested positive for anything.
Twins are up 4-0.
I think in the shortened COVID with, no days off, you should allow all drugs.
Sure.
Yeah. Just
I'm all for that.
Whatever you need to do to get through the 60 games, just sauce it up and let's all swing for the fences. Like I love now, like you're getting guys in extra innings go to second. They're not bunting anyone over. Like, no.
Do you like that?
Let them swing. Oh, I think it's dumb and gimmicky, but I mean the whole season you're just trying to, I hope they don't adopt it in.
Me too.
In a regular year.
I dislike it greatly. I understand it during COVID, during this whole thing, but yeah, if they adopt that, I'm not going to like it.
No.
And I'm going to bitch about it.
Oh, I'll bitch
live
about
on the air.
I'll bitch about it for half a year, and then it's like the DH thing. You'll just forget about it. It becomes normal because they won't do it in the postseason. The NHL does this. The NHL has funky overtime rules.
Do they?
Yeah, where they shrink it down and you get rid of guys, and then you go to shootouts if you can't even score after that. But once you get to the Stanley Cup, it's 5-on-5 hockey until someone scores. And so as long as you didn't do it in the postseason, then, you know, whatever. I'm fine.
And looking at the stats, you know, it's Mike might be right. It just seems like it's pretty down the middle, hitters versus pitchers so far in the first 6 or 7 games, because you do have some teams whose team ERA is an abomination. Like the Mariners are, their team ERA is over 7.
What's the Red Sox? Because I feel like the Red Sox pitching staff is god awful.
They are.
Oh, it's really bad.
Yeah, I mean it's.
They're not as bad as the Mariners. Boston's at 5.29. Mariners are 7. Mariners team ERA is 7.
Well,
they're not even last in the league.
Who's last in the league?
Baltimore.
I was gonna say like maybe the White Sox. I haven't heard of anyone in the Mariners bullpen. Like you just like every night, like I'll flip over there and I'm like, who the hell is this? Just rolling guys out there.
Yeah,
and
but
Marco
then you.
Marco Gonzalez is their ace. Marco Gonzalez.
Nice little pitcher.
No, not when he's your starter. When you look on opening day and that's what you've got.
Well, you've also got 5 teams that have team ERA below 2.7 and a couple in the ones. The Rockies and Indians are pitching the baseball so far. And then you look at batting, like, I mean, there are teams. God, you got to go all the way to, well, put it this way. Half the league is batting under 230 as a team. Mm. Half the teams in the league, actually more than half the teams are batting under 230. That's ridiculous, dude. There are 4 teams that aren't even hitting 200.
Yee. Well, I know what, because I was looking at this just when I was looking at the Mets offense. I think the Diamondbacks have only scored like 20 runs all year.
D-bags.
Yeah, what are they hitting?
196.
196.
And they have 20 runs. But, you know, Texas only has 13 runs.
Texas?
Texas has only scored 13 runs. They wow. have their average is 181, but they've only played 5 games.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's worse.
Get ready for some exciting baseball. Hey.
So that's where I'm going with the whole bad offense thing.
I just like having baseball on. I like having options.
Phillies have only played 3 games. Well, the Phillies and Marlins have only played 3 games.
Against each other.
Although it is tough times here at Entercom. We no longer have the MLB package.
Yeah, we can't afford it.
No.
We can't afford it.
No. So I'm stuck watching the Mets and the Braves on like the Gamecast, where it just shows you like the little,
The pitch comes in.
Yeah, the pitch comes in.
But remember in the old school, before we could watch all the games, when it said in play runs and the waiting, you're like, in play runs, what happened?
Like, what's going on?
And it's like 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute later, RBI single. Oh,
now I just get real time. I find out with stick figures what's happening in the game.
All right. Well, we'll push off some Anthony Davis talk to next week. We've got the club coming up next. I'll kick it off with the latest on Snakegate Intercom 2020. 5:58 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.